So is that an okay start? Are we okay with this start? That we use this as reflection moments, inshallah? Inshallah. So the surah I selected today, inshallah, is surah number 93. Also, I put the tafsir of the surah, the translation of the surah on the WhatsApp group. This WhatsApp group, inshallah, is going to be, please do not read messages that distract you on the WhatsApp group. Read the surah before we get started, okay? The goal of us reading the surah al-Duha, I will read it in Arabic just for the barakah of reading Quran, okay? But I want you guys to read it before I get into it. And the goal is, I ask you, what do you feel when we read the surah? Is the question I'm going to ask you after you. Do you have to answer? No. But the goal is, the more we think out loud, the more you're like, I never saw this angle on the surah before. Alright? So surah number 93, inshallah, surah al-Duha. I'll read it in Arabic first. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والضحى والليل إذا سجى ما ودعك ربك وما قلى وللآخرة خير لك من الأولى ولسوف يعطيك ربك فترضى ألم يجدك يتيما فآوى ووجدك ضالا فهدى ووجدك عائلا فأغنى فأما اليتيم فلا تقهر وأما السائل فلا تنهر وأما بنعمة ربك فحدث. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. We read a surah of about 11 verses. I want you now to read it and the translation in English. Take a deep moment. And the first question is, after you're done reading it, how did you feel going through the surah? What questions come up? What things maybe have confused you? What things do you notice about the surah? And this is our kickoff for the surah. The goal is to get us to think. And also, I want to point to something. Any surah that begins with an oath, like for example, Wal-Qamar, Wal-Layl, Wal-Shams, an oath. Allah takes an oath by something. You'll see the oath divided into different things in the Quran. Sometimes it's time, sometimes it's place, sometimes it's an object, the stars, the sun, the moon. Sometimes it's just Allah takes an oath by the day, a judgment day. So it's divided in many things. The scholars, first thing, they say, when you find a qasam, look for the answer of the qasam. Qasam is a promise, an oath. So when Allah takes an oath, where is the answer? So question number one, let's try to reflect. Where is the oath? And where is the answer of the oath? Let's try. First of all, is the duha an oath? Does it look like an oath? Yes. So Allah says duha. And then the next verse. Okay. Does it look like an oath?
Yes.
It looks like an oath. And then the one after. That is the answer to the oath. Exactly. So verse number three. So when Allah makes an oath, it almost sometimes looks to people like a cryptic message. Like sun, moon, daylight, night, it's spread out. Why does Allah give these messages? Because in it, Allah wants to connect us also to the planet. Why? Because the art of reflecting has been lost by the Ummah. Like when you read the verses Samawat wal-Ard or Nujum, when Arabs back in the day, the stars were discussed, that was wow. When discussions of the sun and the moon, remember some religions were based on that. Like Sayyidina Ibrahim's time, the people worship the sun and the moon. So these were great objects. Unfortunately, in our time, we're addicted to our phones. So what happens is you look down all the time and you don't look up. And this oath in the beginning of duha, you'll notice in the WhatsApp group, in the file I give you, the duha is defined as that morning light. It's right after Fajr. Duha time begins, who knows how many minutes usually after Fajr? 15 minutes after Fajr, all the way to the peak sun right just before Dhuhr. So Dhuhr is the time when the sun comes out. So when you read the surah and you read the word duha, immediately comes to your mind is hope. The sun is coming out. Because you just came out of darkness. So if you drive to Fajr and while you're coming back, you'll notice the duha beginning. And this is the beauty of praying Fajr in the masjid, is that you leave and you come back and the light starts cracking. And that feeling of hope, especially when people see the sun, they are filled with optimism after a night. So when you look at Fajr, and this is the beauty of praying Fajr, and then after Fajr, and then you look at the sun, Allah makes an oath by al-duha. And that duha also, there's an Arabic word in Eid, when you slaughter. What is the word? Udhiyah. You adha, udhiyah, when you slaughter. Its origin comes from the time you slaughter, which is duha. So when you talk about the word udhiyah, the when you slaughter the sheep and all of that, where did that word come from? Its origin comes, the word duha comes from that word duha, the time that you do the slaughter. So duha, while you hear the word udhiyah, adha, that origin word is from that time of day. Now I want to explain something about Surah Al-Duha. I explained word number one. It is believed that the Quran came down to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق, Surah Al-Alaq number one. Then Jibreel stopped coming down for him. Then we had Surah Noon and Al-Muddathir and Muzzammil. Scholars disagree with Muddathir first and Muzzammil first, and there's a disagreement. And then after Quran came down, there was a big pause of 6 months. And then the kuffar told the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah abandoned you. Allah, not only just abandoned you, but he the words in Surah Al-Duha says, وَضَحَوَ اللَّيْلِ إِذَا مَا وَدَعْكَ رَبُّكَ وَمَا قَالَ. So there's two words in there that we're going to explain. So up to six months, scholars say, Quran didn't come down. So when Quran doesn't come down, people started now attacking the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And you know that the surah that will come down right after will resolve the rumors coming in the town. But subhanAllah, when we read this surah, one of the questions is it addressing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam based on when you read it, or is it addressing kuffar? Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So, amazing about the Quran is they were not even worthy of responses. One person gets a response with a surah, and the whole town doesn't get the response. Because this criticism is not worth it. Because sometimes people care about criticism so much. So they care about addressing criticism. And Allah says, your feeling, Ya Prophet, Ya Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, your feeling matters more than all of this. More than what's going on. But he will address the criticism to how the Prophet feels, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So now we're talking about, you enter the surah, al-duha. It's an oath. And then the next one, what is the next ayah? Surah, what's the surah before it? Surah before al-duha. Surah al-layl, night. So this surah is nested between two surahs, al-layl and al-sharah. And I want to also teach you, is al-layl, when you read Surah al-layl, those who have the Quran open, surah number 92, wal-layli idha yaghsha. Another oath, Allah talks about the night being covered. And then when nahari idha tajalla, and then when the daylight, the day, nahar, is the daylight, it opens up. And then, وَمَا خَلَقَ الذَّكَرَ وَالْأُنْثَى إِنَّ سَعْيَكُمْ لَشَتَّى. So the surah before it, all this I'm trying to explain, the neighbors of Surah Al-Duha, the neighbors. Why is it before it and why is it after, and what do scholars say about the sequence? So the surah before is the night. Then you get the morning light. And then open up your chest. So why is the night? So the night happens before Al-Duha. The night happens before Al-Duha. Night in Islamic time begins when? In the day. Sunset, Maghrib, all the way till Fajr. That's called night. So in it is Maghrib and Isha. Okay? So you have Surah Al-Layl. What's the Surah before Al-Layl? Al-Shams, the sun. Now I want you to read the first verse of Surah Al-Shams. وَضُحَاهَا And then وَالْقَمَرِ إِذَا وَالنَّهَارِ إِذَا جَلَى وَاللَّيْلِ So Surah Al-Shams will come and open up two surahs. It's actually introducing. It tells you the sun and it's duha. And al-layl, so Surah Al-Shams comes. It's as if double click on Al-Shams al-duha, you go to Surah al-duha. And then you go to al-layl, either sha, and then double click, you go to Surah al-layl. I want to point to, I've opened up the whole neighborhood right now of the surahs back to back, 91, 92, 93, 94. Brother Ahmed, you didn't close it for us. What is going on? What are all these oaths? What's happening? So the surah is giving you the following. Surah Al-Shams is a surah of specifics. That's why you hear in the end always, Duha, ha, this. Tala, ha, this. Jala, ha, this. Alayhi idh yaqsha, ha, this. Wama, bana, ha. So Surah Al-Shams is being very specific. And it's going to talk about your nafs. Fa'alhamaha. So he, Allah is telling you, in Surah Al-Shams, another interesting insight about Surah Al-Shams, it means the sun. The surah is called about the sun, but it's talking about in nafs. This nafs that we all have made out of our ruh and jasad, this nafs that we have. Allah says, فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُهِ He inspired its goodness, and also you have inside of you, your ability to be great or bad is built in. You pick, you choose bad or good. But Allah says in Surah Al-Shams, what after? قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا So when we look at Surah Al-Shams, it's telling you, you would be very successful if you do tazkiyah and you do cleansing of the nafs. This is success according to Surah Al-Shams. And then comes Surah Al-Layl. Instead of being very specific and you know the outcome, it reverses on you. It actually opens up many, it says, وَإِنَّ سَعَيْكُمْ نَشَتَّ Your path is diverse. That even the oath taken before it is diverse. The night and the day. The male and the female. And your pursuit is diverse. So when Allah is making the oath, it's to explain to you, and the answer to the oath, إِنَّ سَعَيَكُمْ لَشَتَّى Your pursuits are diverse. How does this relate to Surah Al-Duha? When Allah says your pursuit is diverse, one of the biggest questions humans ask, before we answer the question of Al-Duha, is my life controlled and I have no impact on it? Or how does Qadr work? Because some people think Qadr, you know, I have no power. I just do, Allah ordained this to me, and they get victim mentality. Surah Al-Layl answers this question, and Abu Ishaq al-Huwayni, Allah yarhamu, had a great lecture about this ayah. The best way to decouple, are you musayyar or mukhayyar? Do you have a choice or not in life? And this surah decouples it. How? Allah will tell you three things you control, and all of them are open to your hustle, to your pursuit. فَأَمَّا مَنْ أَعْطَى For the first condition, the first thing that you have control over, your ability to give. وَالتَّقَى Your ability to have taqwa and fear of Allah. وَصَدَّقَ بِالْحُسْنَى And the belief, husna, again multiple definitions, but the tafsir is the hereafter. You believe in the hereafter. فَسَنُيَسِّرُهُ لِلْيُسْرَى So we will ease their path to yusra, the good. The Jannah. So if I do all those three, does my journey to Jannah open up? Yes. And that's the relationship between choice versus no, I don't get a choice. Your path is chosen according to the three inputs you put in. Most of these inputs have nothing to do with are you gonna get into a car accident? You have no control over that. Allah's asking you in every situation. Are you in a state of giving? Are you? In a state of taqwa, notice how giving comes before taqwa. Why? There are stingy Muslims. There are stingy Muslims. And there are people who start Allah, when Allah defines pursuit, He begins with the word a'ta, to give. And Allah will show you even the other path. If you look in the other path, وَأَمَّا مَنْ بَخِلْ. بَخِلْ is stingy. And then, notice the opposite of taqwa is istighna, to feel independent. All this is going to explain the duha. The feelings we all get inside, all the feelings you get inside when you're angry, when you're stressed, when you feel like, you know, I'm not appreciated, someone doesn't like me, feeling of loneliness. That's why before the duha, I'm just opening up to you Surah Al-Layl. So that you see through the darkness, night, and when you get to the duha, morning light, it will explain the full meaning of the surah. And actually this surah is the reason it's a surah of hope. The surah al-duha is read in salat al-duha. So we have a salat in the morning. You can, again, pray any time, 15 minutes after Fajr, all the way till right before Dhuhr. The minimum is 2 rak'ahs. There's ulama did not necessarily put a maximum. Some ulama said 12. But there's a salat in the morning that's extra. It's not mandatory. And it's surah al-duha, salat al-duha. You actually can pray with surah al-duha in it. And when you understand surah al-duha, and you pray with it in salat al-duha, you'll see a different meaning, especially when right when the light comes up. Again, some ulama said, at the peak of the sun, at the peak of the heat, you should be praying duha. I'm just giving you the scholarly opinion on duha. But I want you to feel surah al-duha, how you can apply it to your life. So we said, surah al-layl gives you two paths. Those who are stingy. Stingy doesn't mean money. Stingy in effort of loving Allah. That's stinginess. When people give Allah their minimum, and Allah give you an ability to give a maximum. Stingy. Istighna could be like, I had a moment last week, I made tawbah from it, and I actually did istighna. I made a very big decision without istighara. A very big decision, because I thought I figured it out. So I said, no need. No need to pray. As soon as I made decision, everything went upside down. And I didn't get it. I'm like, it was a clear decision. There was no, you know. But I didn't even have the politeness to praise the khawr. At that moment, I was stagnant. I felt I could go at it alone. I mean, of course, this deserves, and this is why we're saying tawbah applies not just to major sins and all that, but sometimes the opportunity cost of not coming closer to Allah. And this is why وَأَمَّا مَنْ بَخِلَ وَاسْتَغْنَى وَكَذَّبَ بِالْحُسْنَى. So those who are stingy. So the first question you ask yourself, do I want to really be a person that gives and helps, or am I stingy? Second, do you have taqwa, or are you feel independent, I don't need Allah? And even you tell this to the young brothers and sisters. When you get married, do you trust who Allah chooses for you or not? And there's a smile that every young person does. Because you'll tell them, praise the khara for Allah and make dua for Allah to pick your spouse for you. And there's this hesitance, no, Allah doesn't know my taste. There's this hesitance. I sit with young people and I understand, like, what's going on. No, Allah doesn't know what I remember even a brother asked me, like in Jannah, I want a Latina. And like, bro, I'm like, brother, hur ayn is, please, like, raise your level a little bit. Like, let's go the extra step, inshallah. But, and it's like, and he was asking me about marriage and advice, and it's like as if Allah does not know you. It's as if Allah did not create you. And this is why, when Allah answers the dua of Zakariya in Surah Maryam, or Sayyidina Musa in Surah Taha, رَبِّ شَحْسِ لِي صَدْرِي وَيَسِرْ لِي أَمْرِي Sayyidina Musa is making a dua live with Allah. Like imagine standing on Jabal and making a dua to Allah straight. He said, رَبِّ شَحْسِ لِي صَدْرِي وَيَسِرْ لِي أَمْرِي And then what does Allah tell him? قَدْ أُوتِيتَ سُلَّكَ يَا مُوسَى And then he reminds him, Sayyidina Musa, do you remember the ni'mas I gave you before? And even Sayyidina Zakariya in Surah Maryam, when he is like, and and he's making a dua to have a kid, and Allah grants him Yahya. And what does كذلك قال ربك, like that Allah will give it. And then he reminds him of what? What does he remind him of? That I have created you from before. Like he, Sayyidina Zakaria was bamboozled. I'm going to get a kid at an old age. Like, this is strange. So what does Allah remind him? Like that, this is my command and I made it. And with strangers, how I created you. So what? How I created you is even harder than Yahya. Yahya is coming to you at an old age, but how are you even created from scratch? Like, so, and this shows you that when Allah answers the dua of Sayyidina Musa or Sayyidina, He reminds them of a ni'am from previous. This is important to understand before getting in Surah Al-Duha. So now let's go back to Surah Al-Duha. I want to now take a pause. Any questions about this journey? Yes.
I thought Duha was after sunrise.
Yes, sunrise, yes. Sorry, I tend to group Fajr after Fajr. Like, not after the Adhan of Fajr, after Fajr, like the time of Fajr. So Dhuhr is from 2, Asr is from 2. After Asr does not mean after Adhan of Asr, after the prayer of Asr, the whole time. Okay? So, for those, it's a good question. What exactly is the time of Dhuhr? It's when you come back from Salah, and sunrise happened, so you cannot pray, or Fajr is now late, for those who wake up late. So the 15 minutes after the end of Fajr, okay? All the way till the peak of sun, all right? It's a beautiful salah to pray. Any other questions? So far, so good? All right, now let's get into the surah. Al-Duha, morning. Al-Layl Idha Saja. What does the word Saja mean? Silent and still. It's a pause. In the previous surah, Yaghsha. The layl is given yaghsha, when the night darkens. But in this surah, saja is when the night is in a pause state. You know when you go through a tough time? Time feels slow. So slow. Like when you're upset, every second feels like an hour. So it's beautiful that the word saja is given, because when people feel doubt in their heart about their iman or anything, or they have a tough moment, it feels like the night is still. It's not moving. You can't wait till the hope comes. Whereas in al-layl, in the other surah, Yaghsha, if Allah did not tell the Prophet ﷺ in the surah Yaghsha, He told him Saja, when the night is still. When the previous surah in al-layl, it's the darkness that mattered. In this surah, al-duha, it's when the night is slow. It's dark, but it's slow. It's the time on the chest that feels hard. Why? Because the Prophet ﷺ, as they were critiquing him, and they were saying this, he started thinking thoughts. And it's not like something was expressed or all of that, but the surah is going to come down to express, وَالضُحَ وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا سَجَى, and then, مَا وَدَّعْكَ رَبُّكَ وَمَا قَلَى. The use of ma is so beautiful. Do you know any other Arabic word for no? La. But Allah here uses ma. Ma. If someone is wrong about something, like when someone says, "Hey, brother, does maghrib mean morning?" Ma is that powerful negation tool that you use. To clarify, we say no. But ma points to you like, oh no, Allah did not abandon you. Ma. مَا وَدَّعْكَ رَبُّكَ وَمَا قَلَى. And then there are two words here. وَدَّعْك, when you, Arabs, when they want to say goodbye to someone travel, وَدَّعْ, you say goodbye. So there is فِرَاق, there is, you leave. And the word وَدَّعْك has a very interesting origin. When you're inside, so وَدَّعْك and قَلَى are two words of almost, like one feels lonely, like you're going on a journey, and the one feels rejected. So those two, you're not hated. The first one is you've not been abandoned, and Allah does not hate you, because these two thoughts are going to come when you go through a tough time, or you're not close to Allah, or you're praying but you're not feeling it. So the first thing Shaitan will do will work on those two words on you. Maybe Allah does not love you.
Maybe Allah will not accept your tawbah. Maybe there's something bad in your life. So he plays on one of these two. Did Allah abandon you? Or maybe Allah does not like you. So Allah gives the clear negate. مَا وَدَّعْكَ رَبُّكَ مَا قَلَى. So when he gives, look at, we're on the third verse. And I'm giving all this intro to understand what? Why does Allah say duha and layl? So that this next answer to the oath is clear. By the morning light. And that still, by that still night that you're going through. Hope, Allah put the hope before the layl. Yeah, Allah, what a beautiful meaning for Allah to say, well, duha, like the morning will come. The morning light will come. Just because you're going through the night, and it's a very beautiful play here. Why? You'll notice even plants need day and night. If you put day all day on the plants, they die. Like even when you go to Iceland or North Norway or Sweden, North Canada, you'll notice plants can't live with too much sun. So there's an appropriate amount of light. It has a role. And darkness has a role. It builds you. And that phase of no wahi, no Qur'an coming down, that 6-month phase of no Qur'an, it has a purpose. It is sajda. It's it. It's the, but it's to build you up, Ya Prophet of Allah. And that's why the Qur'an never came down one book fully in one session. It didn't come down. Why? Too much light. Too much light. The light you can deal with is like a plant, and then a night, and then a day, and then a night. And this rotation of time is the state of a human. We go through day and night, hope and darkness. And through each phase it has a purpose. And this is the beauty of Surah Al-Duha, as if to tell you, trust Allah that the morning light will come. Trust Allah that the morning... But brother, this problem I'm going through is very long. وَلَيْلِ إِذَا سَجَدْ أَنَا مَا وَدَعْكَ رَبُّكَ وَمَا قَلَى. Now you see how the oath matches the answer to the oath. Any questions so far? Okay. Now, the next one is also, now Allah is going to give, increase the dosage of hope. وَلَا الْآخِرَةُ. Yeah, go ahead.
The last word, قَلَى, what is that?
So قَلَى, it has, like, you know when someone is hated, you were not hated. So wada is to abandon. Qala, and it has the origin of the word qala. Even, you know, in a frying pan or all of that, scraping, it has an origin meaning. I'm trying to remember, there's another one that... it has a, what?
Despised.
Despised is hated, but there's another origin to the Arabic word. I believe wada comes from pitted dates. When, you know, something inside, abandoned inside the date, so the inside of it. So wada', or the goodbye, the abandoned, its origin comes from inside the date that you can't see something, so it's abandoned. And qala has to deal, I remember the Arabic origin word was something about scraping a pan at the bottom, I just can't remember the relationship to hated, what it was, but it has its origin in that. But it, in general, it means abandoned or hated. Because these are the two states that you feel like, well, maybe Allah doesn't like me anymore, or Allah He abandoned me. It's not that He loves me or hates me, He abandoned me. So, ما ودعك ربك و and ما قال, He does not hate you and He did not abandon you. The next one gives a lot of hope. ولا الآخرة خير لك من الأولى. آخرة means, who knows what آخرة means? Hereafter. That's one meaning. But if the meaning was وَلَا الْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنَ الْأُولَى and the hereafter, then the ayah would be وَلَا الْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنَ الْدُّنْيَا. أُولَى is the beginning. Or the first, or dunya. So sometimes, go ahead.
Last.
آخِرَة carries multiple meanings. And you'll see it, so I shared it in the definitions. It means last. It means akhirah, which is the second life. The inshallah Jannah for all of us, bi-idhnillah. We make dua that He makes us members of Jannah. And another important meaning in this, why does Allah then leave the verse unclear which one is it? Because all are true. The akhirah is better than the ula. So the hereafter is better than dunya. Plus, the end of the life of the Prophet ﷺ will be better than the beginning. In the beginning it's doubt. At the end of it, the Prophet ﷺ removes the curtain to check Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq praying jama'ah and feeling he's all good to go.
So your la, your end, subhanAllah, and your beginning, it's going to be better. Your end, Ya Rasulullah, will be better than the beginning. And also another meaning that ulama have pointed out, the end of the problem you're going through is better than what you're feeling in the beginning of it. So in the beginning you feel heartbroken, but at the end it will resolve itself. So you see how one verse, وَلَا الْأَخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنَ الْأُولَى, opens up multiple journeys to resolution. So now, but you're still, all this, you're trusting Allah, okay? And then Allah increases the dosage of hope. وَلَسَوْفَ يُعْطِيكَ رَبُّكَ فَتَرْضَى. And the one thing you're trying to achieve throughout of all of this is you want to feel your heart, رِضَى, is to be pleased or content in the heart. And رِضَى is the true Islamic definition of happiness. Because the West tends, or the media loves the definition of this smile always on, I'm giggling, laughing in a park, and just jumping around of joy. But رِضَى in Islam is a state that is maintainable. Happiness, unless you are listening in the Quran, like for example Surah Ar-Rum or other surahs, you have a word like yuhbarun or tuhbarun, which is ecstatic joy of Jannah. Allah describes the joy of Jannah, tuhbarun. Like, I'm not saying party happiness, but I'm just saying you're so happy that there's a bird that's named, a bird that jumps a lot in the Middle East and is very happy. It has a parallel meaning, tuhbarun. Hubara. A bird called hubara. And when you look at the bird, it looks like it's happy all the time for no reason. Allah describes our state in Jannah, tuhbarun, you guys are going to be not just tafrahun, tuhbarun, you're so happy. But this, Allah says tarda, what we're trying to achieve is that we feel this pleasing from Allah. But till now, so Allah increased the dosage of hope, but how do we answer the question inside of us that I don't know how Allah like feels about me right now? You might be like, I understand the future, that things are going to get better, but you want your heart to feel that assurance. So now Allah will pose three questions. Alam ka yatiman fa'awa wa wadaka dhalan fa'ada wa a'ilan fa'azna. So Allah will pose three questions, three answers. Allah could have said, أَلَمْ يَجِدْكَ يَتِيمًا فَأَوَى فَأَمَّا الْيَتِيمَ فَلَا تَقْهَرْ. He could have put question, answer, question, answer, question, answer. But why is this a great surah for tadabbur? Because Allah is going to ask the three questions and He's going to let your own minds drift. So the first one is, did He not find you? أَلَمْ يَجِدْكَ. Did He not find you? يَتِيمًا. يَتِيمًا means what?
Orphan.
فَأَوَى. فَأَوَى. And that answered the question of وَقَلَى, like that feeling of abandonment. That, so yatim is the one of the yatim in the Arabic language, its origin is the pearl, a rare pearl. So it tells you how Allah defined the word orphan parallel to the word of pearl. Do not look down upon them. They're very precious to Allah. So yatim, orphan, its origin is pearl in the Arabic language. And that, so when you open a single pearl and you're looking at it and it's beautiful, Allah calls that an orphan. It's such a beautiful word that Allah uses to describe the orphan. Why? It magnifies the orphan in its beauty. They're like pearls. Don't crush them. Surah Al-Duha is unbelievable. Why? Because yatim is one of the most difficult. Yatim in the Arabic language is defined by if you don't have a father and you're under the and you're a young boy or a young girl, so you're considered an orphan. You could have a mother, you're still yatim if you don't have a father. So orphan in the Arabic language doesn't mean both parents are missing. It means the father is missing. So that's the definition of yatim. And Allah describes the yatim all over the Quran and in Surah An-Nisa and everywhere, as always protect the orphan. And this is something that has disappeared. So Allah tells the Prophet ﷺ, did He not find you an orphan? أَلَمْ يَجِدْكَ يَتِيمًا فَأَوَى. And He took care of you. وَوَجَدَكَ ضَالًا فَهَدَى. You were looking for Him. The Prophet ﷺ was going up to the ghar in search of Allah. So you were looking for Him.
guided you. Actually, the word blood, I put it in Raghib al-Isfahani's book, Mufradat Gharib al-Qur'an, the word balal, blood, has 3 pages of definition. The opposite of blood is guidance. So, when you're guided, hadaf. Blood, you're lost. So, the Prophet Allah was searching for Allah, and he guided you. And then, وَوَجَدَكَ عَائِلًا فَأَغْنَى. And he found you. And then you think I keep out. That Allah found that عائلة فأغنى عائل. Weak or more poor, in need not just of money. So this ayahs, you wanna look at it in number one definition spirituality. And then you think عائلة فأغنى. عائل is the word. أغنى is to enrich. عائل is when you are in need. Actually, عائل has another word, is when you have kids and you need money. And عائل means you are poor and in need of money. So عائل فأغنى is he found you poor and then he enriched you. How did that happen? So if you look at the life of the Prophet ﷺ, he was a yatim, and even he couldn't in the beginning find a murdha, someone to breastfeed him. Allah took care of him. And then he didn't even have a father. So Allah gave him his, number one, grandfather. And then his uncle. And then he gave him Khadija. All this before even Islam. I took care of you even before this. So Allah resorts to, look, when you go through a dark time or a difficult time, go back to the favors Allah gave you. If you recognize them, you're on a good path with Allah. This is all to explain one thing, by the way. All the Surah Al-Duha will do one thing. Make you appreciate when you start the Qur'an and you say, Alhamdulillah. That's actually, if you come out of Surah Al-Duha appreciative, you're close to landing Alhamd, which is praise and thanks to Allah. Its origin word is praise to Allah. So you praise Allah. Alhamd. All this, Allah is awakening in you. The reason sometimes you go through a difficult time is because you don't even remember what Allah gave you. You start looking for new things all the time. But you always erase your past with Allah. And sometimes a difficult time brings back the past and you're like, you know what, Allah gave me a lot of my life. Sometimes a tough time now is to appreciate a past. Why? Because how are you going to be thankful if you don't remember Allah? And this is why in another ayah, Allah says, اعملوا آل داود شكرا. Do, it's a very strange Arabic sentence in English and Arabic. اعملوا آل داود. Do the آل داود, the Prophet داود شكرا. Do thanks. Do thanks. I thought we say thanks. No, do it. Do it, you have to, when you appreciate, not just with words. Show your thanks. Now you take, show with thanks, show your thanks by action. Let's get to the next verses. فَأَمَّا الْيَتِيمَ فَلَا تَخَرُ وَأَمَّا السَّائِلَ فَلَا تَنْهَرُ وَأَمَّا تَرَبِّكَ فَحَدْ. So Allah will say, now that you know the yatim, you were an orphan, what is your answer? فَأَمَّا الْيَتِيمَ, do not be cruel to orphans. So go out and look for them. It will open up your heart. So sometimes when you're stuck and you're feeling bad, it's because you're selfish. You're not helping anyone. And you're not helping someone in need. Remember, the orphan is like a pearl. So when you look at an orphan, Allah wants you to see something beautiful. Because sometimes you'll be like, oh, haram, look at the orphan. No, he's a pearl. She's a pearl. They're beautiful. Do you see that deep meaning of فَمَا الْيَتِيمَ فَلَا تَقْهَرْ. So one of the things we should be doing more as Muslims, the first instruction is go help someone. So الْيَتِيمَ, and then go up. Anyone poor. And do not be cruel to people in need. Do not be cruel to people that did. Don't be like, because what does an orphan, if you see an orphan, I remember when I went to visit an orphanage in Syria. It was so heartbreaking because it's like the father passed away, the mother's on $80 a month, and they have always one of everything. One biscuit, food for the whole day. There's nothing called options. You're so angry about your life, and you have so many options. The orphan sees one option, and they're very thankful to Allah. And I remember the sister, the mother of the orphans, she was so thankful. Alhamdulillah, wallahi, Allah took care of me and took me from this tent to this tent. I'm like, if you see what in the West we're upset about, wallahi, you would slap me on the face. So why does Allah take you first to the orphan? Because your mind goes with what you have. Allah tells you, look at the people who don't have, and on top of that, be nice to them and help them. And this is something we miss as Muslims so much. The idea of an orphan or orphanage, it's like just a check we give to a charity and that. But when you go out and visit and feel it, like I remember even in one of the orphanages, I wanted to make the kids laugh. So I made all the animal noises I knew. And we got the whole camp to laugh and all of them. And the mother was she's like, you know, it's nice when people come and they make like a feeling of family. And like we're having fun, not up down, but like be with us. It's important than just coming and like some people want to go and just take the photo and go. And it's like, be nice to the orphans. The funniest thing is they kept making animal noises till I went back to the bus. What? And the mothers came out of the camp, they're like, what's going on? What? Meh! And then sounds of sheep that are not that good, but all the way to the bus. But why is that? Because you need to build... this is how a believer maintains so much hope in life. Why? Because you're getting it from Allah and you're sending it into the orphans. So the first, subhanAllah, the first thing is the orphans. And then Allah will say what? Allah will talk about, وَجَدَكَ عَائِلًا وَأَمَّا السَّائِلْ فَلَا تَنْهَرْ. السَّائِلْ, the English Quran usually has the definition, beggar. I don't like that definition. And I like Dr. Fadl Sulaiman's definition. Those asker, the people that ask. As-sa'il, how do we even derive that? You know how in some sense, yas'alunak, anil anfal, surat al-anfal. Yas'alunak, yas'al. Yas'al is to ask. So just because someone is an asker doesn't mean they're a beggar. As-sa'il could be anyone in need. Sometimes someone is not begging, but they need help. Do not be stingy in that help. So if anyone asks you for a favor, Do not dismiss them. So it's amazing how Allah is telling us to overcome difficult times, not by waiting for good news, but by doing actions. Because many of us are waiting for a wedding. Just give me a hockey team one. Give me some good news, like an event. Allah is telling you, you're looking in the wrong places. One of the best things you can do is do things. Be part of action. And this is why many people feel depressed. Why? They're not doing anything. They make money from their salary. Okay, my life is... But I still feel something missing. But the Prophet ﷺ, you know, before Islam, his house was a party of helping the poor. Like, orphans are in his house. He was like that before Islam. Some people think, oh, the Prophet ﷺ got Islam, now he's helping the poor. No, he was like that from back in the day. And the proof is, Sayyidah Khadija. When Jibreel came down, she's like, and you help the poor. How could Allah do this to you? And when you help the poor. So we know that answer, that it's in the Prophet ﷺ to serve and help the poor without Islam. Now we have Islam and we don't help and serve the poor. Yeah, subhanAllah, we have to go back to our roots. And our roots to feel better is what? To serve. To give. This is why I translated Surah Al-Layl first. فَأَمَّا مَنْ أَعْطَى. Those who give. And follow after that is taqwa. So if you're not giving, you're depressed. That's the right meaning. Because if you're not giving, you're stingy. There's no, I am zero, brother. No, you're not zero. Let's take a pause. Any question about this? I know I took a very hard detour in Surah Al-Duha. Any question about it so far? Yes.
No, the question, when you said... Right? Like give and then you get the taqwa.
So. No, give and have taqwa. So, but the, you would have expected as a Muslim that we simple mind, human, limited. I would have thought, فَأَمَّا مَنِ اتَّقَى وَأَعْطَى. I would have thought, taqwa comes first so I can give. Allah says, no, it's your need, it's your ability to give that raises the taqwa. The state that you make a choice, I want to help. I want to serve. That serve inflames the taqwa higher.
So taqwa gets brought down when you're stingy. So people that hold on to money hard. And please, amma man a'ta is not just money. A'ta, anything, effort, help, ilm, anything you can do. You saw a person stuck in a, so funny, one time I saw a person stuck in a car and I wanted to pray Isha in the masjid. But the person was stuck and alone, okay? So I was like, should I delay salah or help the person? So I helped the person, I went to the sheikh and I was like, sheikh, the person was stuck and I had salah and I delayed it. He's like, فَأَمَّا مَنْ أَعْطَى وَاتَّخَى. It's okay, come and pray jama'ah with whoever late. If someone is stuck, do not abandon them. And it's the reverse of the surah. Do not abandon people that are in need. I need to go to salah, so I'll let you. No one will see you again in the dark. I'm sorry. May Allah send you someone that's not me and doesn't have a salah. It can't be like that. And then the last, so amma sa'ila fala tanhar. So those who are asking, do not rebuke, is in the English definition. But be, so Allah gives you two things. Be in a state of helping people. Be in a state of whatever answer you can do to help. Do not be stingy with information. Do not be stingy in helping and serving people that are in an unfortunate situation. And then the last one is the one that drives people crazy. وَأَمَّا بِنِعْمَةَ رَبِّكَ. Should I tell people about the ni'mah on social media? So, وَأَمَّا بِنِعْمَةَ رَبِّكَ فَحَدَّثَ. People love showing off. Okay. So how does Allah tell me? Talk about the blessings that you have. I am going to go share it to everyone I know. La. That's not what the ayah is saying. That's what you're saying. وَأَمَّا بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ فَحَدِّثْ. And the English translation is the ni'mah is a blessing. And فَحَدِّثْ is حَدِّثْ is like talking. It's like say it. Say, like basically say thanks about the ni'mah. Mention the ni'mahs that Allah gave to you. So the disagreement here is that, well, if you go out and you say to everyone, wallahi, brother, I just got $1 million yesterday. I had a ni'mah, wallahi, alhamdulillah. La, la, la. This is a misunderstanding of the verse, and it's a problem. Why? I do think social media and in general, I'm not known, I don't have a YouTube, I don't have a Facebook, I don't have many of this. I only have LinkedIn for work because I have to hunt people. But other than that, I actually, in general, stay away from social media because I do think, I'm not giving fatwas or halal, I don't know all that. There is a good role to social media, but there's also a negative role. And if you notice it impacts you negatively or all that, you should manage it. Manage it. Why? Because it sets expectations the wrong way, in general. And then people see what other people have, and then make it their own standard. Well, like they have, you know, they had, they just bought a Ferrari, you know, we should get a Ferrari. It's like, we don't have money for a Ferrari, but they got... Like, that feeling of setting standards and stealing it from people on social media goes opposite to the surah. وَأَمَّا بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ فَحَدِّثْ. The ni'mah, in general, mention it, number one, and people forget this one, to Allah. Say to Allah, thank Allah for the ni'mahs He gave you, number one. Number two, you can mention it to others, as long as, now the following. They do not generate evil eye. How do you know that? Well, look at Sayyidina Yaqub and Sayyidina Yusuf when he was a young boy. لا تقصص رؤياك على إخواتك. Do not say that dream. The dream is a ni'mah that Sayyidina Yaqub understood, but don't tell it to your brothers. فَيَكِيدُ لَكَ كَيْدًا. They'll plan against you. And then, why? Because إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانِ. Shaytan, the insan adu mubin, that the shaytan is an enemy to you. So if you mention things to people that have evil eye, could that be a family member? Yes. Could that be a sibling? Yes. So which circle would I tell to? Like, for example, first of all, what do you tell them is an important criteria, and who you tell is another criteria. Two things. So if someone said to you, for example, mashallah, you donate a lot of money. You say, this money that Allah gave me is from Allah. Number one is what? So is this my money? No, it's from Allah. So if someone said, brother, you're rich, or sister, you're rich, wallahi, this money is from Allah. If someone came and told you that, reframe it back to ni'mah from Allah. Number two, who you tell it to also matters. And why are you telling them to? Is it to one of them? Don't say it. is to say Allah is amazing, Allah saved me in this accident. Wallahi, alhamdulillah, it was all from Him. That's the true ni'mah that you're saying. But you're saying, you know, Allah saved me and not your family from that. You guys had an accident, I heard you guys got injured. Now you're one-upping. So, the last verse locks it up to say, وَأَمَّا بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ فَحَدِّثْ. Now you're truly saying, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alam. Now you understand the word hamd from Surah Al-Duha. So now let's go and review this. Al-Duha, what does it mean? Al-Duha, morning light. Layl idha saja, still. The still night. So the focus on still. There is a second tafsir of that word being darkness, but the main one is the stillness or the pause of the night. And then, ما ودعك ربك وما قال. What's ودعك? The goodbye. قال. You're not hated. You're not despised. And then, ولا الآخرة خير لك من الأولى. آخرة is the last. أولى is the first or the beginning. Okay? أولى is the beginning. So the first could be, it has many meanings, we said. دنيا and آخرة. So when you go through a problem, Allah wants you to think of the following. Okay, I'm in Jannah right now. And all these problems are behind me. Alhamdulillah. And number two, the end of this problem, inshallah, as long as you're a believer in Allah, is going to be better than the beginning. Whatever I'm overcoming in pain, whatever all this, and I tell you this, brothers and sisters, how many of you went through a problem? In the beginning, there's no solution. At the end, Allah opened it up. How many?
11.
This is the definite, وَلَا الْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنْ. When you're going through the ula feeling, Allah says, you can mitigate that feeling. When you're going through it, just think about the end of it. If you trust Allah, this is where yaqeen and iman comes in. Do you have tawakkul on Allah that I am going through this problem on purpose, by design, to come out better, whatever it may be? My brother might be like, but I heard people went to jail. Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam went to jail. How did he come out better from it? He became finance minister. And how did Allah solve it? A dream. So you sit there and plan, no way, Allah cannot take me out of this problem. Man, you know, I'm in debt. And all these people come with the doom. And I'm not surprised about the doom. It's like, man, Allah solves things in ways you cannot imagine. I always see this, brothers and sisters, we cannot have kids. And then they come back with the miracle story of having kids. I cannot have this. And then Allah says, as long as you believe in Allah, then just know al-akhirah khayrun lakum min al-dunya. Have that full confidence of Allah. And He will give you fatarda. And He will give you and you'll be pleased. So He will get your heart to rest. That even in, there's a surah, مَا أَصَبَ مِن مُصِيبَة, that Allah, an affliction does not target you. And then, وَمَن يُؤْمِن بِاللَّهِ يَهْدِي قَلِبًا. Those who, if you go through a calamity, and you believe in Allah, Allah, يَهْدِي قَلْبَ, has two meanings. He guides your heart, and He cools your heart. So the process of you being, oh my God, I'm so angry, I'm this and that, I believe in Allah, reduces it. Reduces it. يَهْدِي قَلْبَ, and guides. And Allah gets you out of that problem. And then, I'll tell you, brother, take every problem you had in the past that was resolved. Every problem. Okay? Especially the ones that were impossible and Allah solved. And you kept thinking it's impossible. It's misconstruing, it's bad behavior with Allah to say Allah cannot solve a problem. And Allah la kulli shay'in qadir. He's capable over everything. So when you go through a problem, Allah wants you, and this surah came down when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam thought, you know, maybe I did a mistake, maybe something, maybe Jibreel's not come down, it's been 6 months. So Allah doesn't, ma wada'aka, don't go through these even feelings. So imagine Allah is telling you, Allah did not abandon you, and He does not despise you. So why do you do that to yourself? So far, so good? Okay? And then when you go through the answer questions, remember, Allah posed the questions for you to map it to yourself. So, أَلَمْ يَجِدْكَ يَتِيمًا فَأَوَى. Some people are like, I am divorced. I am this. I am that. It doesn't get harder than not having a father growing up. So everything about that, inshallah, will get better. So Allah's giving you an extreme situation where the prophet of the whole, the man that will guide billions of people, had one of the toughest upbringing of moving from family to family to family, no true... Imagine, I always say this, one of the hardest things for me, imagine if someone asked the Prophet ﷺ, what should I do for my mother? And I just try to imagine how the Prophet ﷺ, who never had really experienced the father or the mother that much, yes, the mother a few years when he was young, but it's a painful memory, how he was so compassionate that he didn't say, please do not talk about mothers. Please do not talk about fathers. This hurt, he didn't. He was so compassionate that this ayah, أَلَمْ يَجِدْكَ اللَّهُ رَبِّ اشْرَحْ لِي صَدْرِكَ. This is a dua we make. أَلَمْ نَشْرَحْ لَكَ صَدْرَكَ. Did we not expand your chest? Why, a Prophet of Allah, did we expand your chest? As some ulama said, Surah al-Duha and al-Inshirah are almost like one surah together. Why? Because when you finish Duha, your answer is, أَلَمْ نَشْرَحْ لَكَ صَدْرَكَ. So now that we're telling you this, didn't your chest feel better? So after going through this surah, do you guys hear your chest opened up? A little bit. That's أَلَمْ نَشْرَحْ لَكَ صَدْرَكَ, the next surah. That is the next surah. So Allah says, Allah is almost expanding your chest open to say, you know what, it's not that bad. The problem I'm going through, so Allah expands your soul. The Qur'an power this. Now, continue reading from 25, and go from there all the way to... verse number 36 and 37. Can someone read it in English for me? 36 and 37. Verse 36, Surah Taha, Surah number 20. If you have the Qur'an in English. Anyone has it in English? Yeah, go ahead.
He said, you have been granted your request, O Musa, and we had bestowed our favor on you another time.
And then read the one after?
When we revealed to your mother what was to be revealed.
So he reminds him of the past. Same state. You were in need of your mother, you're in need of your father, you're in need of... Allah is almost supporting everywhere in the Qur'an. So he told them, first of all, I'm going to answer the dua, رَبِّ شَحْلِي صَلْبِي وَسْلِي أَمْرِي وَحْبَقْتَ. All that, you're granted. But also remember, Ya Musa alayhi salam, can you read verse 37 again in English? وَلَقَدْ بَنَنَا عَلَيْكَ. Can you read that verse number 37?
And we have bestowed our favor on you another time.
Another time. And we've also supported you before. Like... Allah answers his dua, yes, you're going to be granted that. But also remember, and then he will go give him his history since he was a baby. Allah will look at the beauty of this. Why? So that you feel confident that Allah is always there with you. Why? And this is why I say, your past, when you forget about it, and this is shaitan, helps us forget. And Allah wants us to remember. When you remember the favors of Allah, and it opens your chest, it gives you hope. When you delete the past and you're focused on the problem you're in right now, it inflames. And Surah Al-Duha tells you, yes, the night is still, it's true. But also the Duha is true. The morning light is true. Hope is coming. So be hopeful. Don't think it's always dark and people like to make it gloomy. Oh Allah, this will happen to you and this and that. And your family is fighting and you're having a divorce and you're. And people like to make it doom. I would say, well, Duha. The morning light will come. Don't tighten your chest. Allah wants it to expand. So, do we agree after Surah Al-Duha, أَلَمْ نَشْرَحْ لَكَ صَدْرَكَ would be a natural next surah. Expand your chest. And Allah is giving you this hope, inshallah. Any questions about these surahs? Yes?
There's a question from the lady's side that
yes.
Why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take oaths in Qur'an?
It's a very beautiful question. Why does Allah take an oath in the Qur'an? First of all, an oath is taken with something dear and beautiful. Like in general, Allah does not take an oath about something like light. It's always something grand that you need to magnify. Like for example, وَالشَّمْس. Allah takes an oath by the أُضْحَى. وَالشَّمْسِ أُضْحَى. Like Allah takes an oath by the sun. If you still think it's normal, then you didn't see you didn't get into the surah yet. It's a magnificent, like Allah tells you, reflect on the benefits of that oath. Reflect on it. Like before getting al-duha, wallahi, you know, the sun, Allah's giving me hope, it's a new start, it's a fresh day, it's this. So when Allah makes an oath, it points you to the how magnificent the item of the oath is. Wal-qamar, wal-layl. Even when Allah makes a qasam bihadha al-balad, Mecca, or watini wa-zaytun, wa-turi sinin, all these oaths, you're usually before you enter the oath, we are, all of us, don't see the value. And And Allah tells you, no, you should see the value. They're very magnificent things, and they're amazing things, and they're dear things. When humans don't see the oath of Allah as important, it's usually a sign that we do not have a good relationship with the planets. And when I really do a khutbah on why Allah repeats Shams, Qamar, Layl, Nahar, Sama, Ard, why does He repeat these words throughout the Quran and we are not connected to it? And it's genuinely because we care about dunya so much.